Okay. 1 Corinthians proper. 1 Corinthians verse 15, or chapter 15, let's pick up at verse 45. And again, in the resurrection, dealing with resurrection. And Paul has shown, he's showing the Corinthians that not only will there be a resurrection, but they ask him now, what body do they come with? In verse 38, he says, God giveth it, that is the resurrection body, a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And he gives us an outline. He says there's different flesh. There's flesh of men, flesh of beasts, of fishes, of birds. There's celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. He says, and there's different glories. There's different glories of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And he's equating all this to the resurrection body. He says, just like there are different bodies in creation, just like there are different bodies in spheres, heavenly and terrestrial, he says there's different bodies of glory, like there's different glory of the sun, the moon, and the stars. He says, so also is the resurrection. Yeah, the lumens. Yeah, you know what? I was thinking that, you know what a star is? Well, you know, inside of a star, well, I'm not a scientist. I'm just going by what I've learned. Astronomer. But inside a star, just like inside the sun, which is a big star, there's little explosions that go on. And what it does, those explosions, that's what creates the light. So, and you don't see it, but just like this, you know how bright the sun is. Well, there's some cataclysmic activity going on inside the sun all the time. And I think if you can get up there, you can see how fiery it is. If they can zoom in close enough, you'll see those fumes. You ever seen a picture like that? Well, imagine on the outside what's going on in the core. We don't see that. And what it does is when those explosions, well, you can see that on TV. If you see the light, you say, I just saw this big explosion. And it's the flash of light. Well, that's what's going on inside the sun. That's what's going on inside the stars. And the bigger the explosion, the more light. And you say, well, so what? And I'm thinking about that where, you know what will, I'm just going to say it the way I'm thinking. You know what will increase your glory?
More explosions.
More explosions. Well, what the Lord would say is suffering.
Yeah.
Is suffering. So, like the Lord, when he begins to suffer, the scripture said that he didn't mind the suffering for the what? Glory that was set before him. So, just when he's ready to go to the cross, and they wonder, it says, the Lord takes Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Because before they were saying, oh, Jesus, he's the one. He's who's been waiting for. And then they reject him, and he goes to the middle of his ministry, and he says, don't tell them that anymore. They've already rejected him. And they're probably thinking now, well, wow. What are we going to do now? Did it not work? And he takes them up, and he says, this is for you guys. I want to show you this. And he shows them his glory before he's headed to the cross, because he knows what comes first. And then the glory. And he shows them that I am the right. I'm the right guy. And when Peter writes to them, he said that God's not slack. When we talked about that glory, He said, but he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. To repentance. to change. He says, as our beloved brother Paul has written about these things in all his epistles, speaking of them about the long suffering of God, which is hard to be understood by them that are unstable in the rest of scriptures. But the back to the glory part is that's what shines brighter. Because God, 1 Corinthians 12. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 12. This is what Paul means when he starts speaking about the grace being sufficient. He says, in verse 7, he says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, he's using that, and he's not talking about physical strength. He's not giving it all to them right here, but he's just saying that I'm prepared to suffer. Because when I don't shine, he does. The glory of God is greater when he's able to manifest that glory. If you can do it all, he has no room for glory. Right? That's what Paul said, God forbid that I should glory in anything save the cross of Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Something really hits me in verse 9 where you said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Well, I was thinking about that old son up there. I remember when a chemical plant exploded, and there were explosions after explosions after explosions. I mean, it was a major thing that happened. People died, and it just went on and on and on. But eventually, it died out. So how come the sun isn't dying yet?
That's right.
The power of Christ is there. You
know? No, the good point is we see this every day.
Yeah.
Where you look at the sun, and we bask in it, don't we? We love the sun. But you don't know that inside there, this take a lot for that glory, for you to appreciate that glory, doesn't it? Well, think about what it took a lot for Christ to go through for him to manifest that glory in us. See, the moon is just a reflector of the sun. It doesn't go through the same turmoil that the sun does. It just reflects some of the glory of the sun. Right? So, and the stars is just a fracture of what the sun is manifesting. When Paul talks about, he says that it was given to him to fill up the sufferings of Christ in his body. Well, and the Lord rewards us for suffering for him. In Corinthians, he says, not only is it given to us to believe on him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. We read this before. Look at 1 Timothy. I think it's 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. I think we've already read this, but since it's along that line, we can look at it again. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. I'm just going to read down through here quickly. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned." Listen. "And if a man also strive for masteries, he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully." You say, why are you saying that? Strive, that's to suffer, that's the struggle, that's the sacrifice. Crown, that's the glory, that's the reward, that's the fruit. He says, "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits." Labor, suffer, sacrifice, fruits, partaker, that's next. "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember," this is Paul talking to Timothy, who was ready to quit. We talked about this, "that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." And he has to appeal to Timothy. This is the foundation of his motivation, or lack thereof. Is he has to realize that the man that we labor for, the same thing happened to him. Remember, Timothy, that Jesus Christ, you know, why did he say this? Of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Like, he didn't know who he was. Do you think Timothy knew he was the seed of David? Mm-hmm. Well, why do you think Paul said that? Like, maybe did Timothy mix him up with another Jesus? No, he didn't. He's trying to show him that. He says, listen, it's the same Jesus. The same one that suffered and was despitefully used and mistreated while he was here on earth. He said that same one was what? Raised from the dead, according to my gospel. See?
So he's kind of melding two things together there, right? He's saying that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, the one that was prophesied.
Because...
But now he brings it to according to my gospel, raised from the dead according to my gospel. He's bringing it up.
Same. He was... Because you think about this is... If he's David's seed, he's the king. He's the rightful king.
Right.
He's supposed to be seated in glory. Right? That's the trouble. When he first came, they were thinking that he shouldn't be going through this. Being the king, right?
They wanted him on the throne.
They wanted him on the throne right away, not the cross.
No.
But, and Paul says that same one, remember that he was raised from the dead, according to suffering first. And if you know anything about the resurrection, the glory, that's the God raising from the dead, the glory later. He had to suffer first, right? In order to enter glory. That's what Philippians said, that he suffered unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him. Yes? And give him a name which is above every name. Now, if he's writing to Timothy, he says, remember this, remember that. He gives him three examples. The soldier to endure hardness, the athlete to strive lawfully, the husbandman to labor patiently. I'm adding the patiently, but to labor. And then he caps it with, remember Jesus Christ. And then he says, now, he says, he's raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein that gospel, he says, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He said, this is nothing new. To the mature believer, nobody can tell us, you know, God doesn't want you to suffer. They can say that, but they're not on the same page. Paul says, all that will live godly will suffer persecution. You know what? If they don't make fun of you on your page, you haven't done something wrong yet. You haven't quite gotten there yet. You know? If they don't call you a hyper dispensationalist, you just keep going. It's coming. When they start posting, we love Jenny. We love you, Jenny. We appreciate all that. Your posts are so beautiful. You know you're something wrong with the gospel. What's the lesson? What's the lesson?
The gospel that brings trouble.
The gospel that what?
Brings trouble.
The gospel that brings trouble. That's the oxymoron. The good news that brings trouble.
Exactly what it is.
What? I don't want that. I don't want any parts of that one. You know what? That's what when I think it was Hezekiah. Maybe I can't remember right now. Well, he says, now there's a prophet in I can't remember where it was, but he said, anyway, there's a prophet. He says that he can help you, but the man that needs the help, he says, yeah, I know about him. He said, but I hate him.
Oh, really?
I hate him because he always prophesied evil to me and not good.
Told me the truth. Didn't like it.
It's the good news that brings trouble. He said, I don't like him. I just want the good part.
Yeah.
And that's what people tell us, you know, well, they just want the good part. Let's get back to the resurrection here. But he says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You know, Paul endured the shame and the persecution in his ministry, so the very fact that we could be glorified with Christ. If we also maintain, I'm not saying maintain salvation, I'm saying maintain the suffering for him, the sacrifice for the gospel. And he says it. He goes on. He says, listen, it is a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. That's Corinthians. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Huh? Right. If we deny him, he will also deny us. What's that? Deny what?
Some of that glory.
Some of that glory. Listen, he said this to Matthew. In Matthew, he says, listen, they said, Lord, we have forsaken everything for you. What do we get? And the Lord says, you get to watch me. You get to watch me reign. That's not what he said. He said, huh? That's what he said. He says, all of you who are forsaking things here for me, he said, you shall sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You suffer with me now, guess what? Remember the two brothers? They said, mother came and he says, listen, Jesus, I want my one son on this side and I want my other son on that side. And he said, no problem. We're going to take care of that. No way. He said, for one, it's not mine to give. And he said, for two, he that's the greatest, he is that would be the greatest, let him become servant of all. You know what? You don't get waited on, you wait on. You don't get served, you serve.
Isn't that amazing in this world where it's the total
opposite? It's the, that's how you know it's the wrong gospel.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why you know. Now, back to watch that principle. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Is when you trust Christ, you are in. There's no doubt about that. He said, but if you spectate your whole way through your saved life, guess what you, when you get there, don't expect.
You're going to be a spectator, don't you?
You know what? And most people say, that's no problem. No big deal. It's so far removed from what would really be. But if you can imagine this, is if you work out to be on a team, and like the championship last night, a lot of guys on that team. Some of those guys won a championship. They were in the, but they played on the championship team, and never participated.
What do you mean they played on the team but never participated?
They played on the winning team. They played
all the
on
members of the winning team.
The team that they won. But when you go through the list and they say most valuable player, not that guy. None of those guys. They never played. You got one guy who's, he contributed this. And they all get up there, you know, and they're praising them for their contribution. And most of them will say, you know what? They'll say, I give it all to my coaches. They got us ready. That's what we do. You know what? We give it all to our coach who got us ready. The Lord, right? Watch this now. Back to Corinthians. Let's see if we can pick up this.
Kind of like an athlete. If you don't train, they're not going to be, if you don't stay on the bench, they're not going to lead. If you don't study, they're not going to lead.
You're right. You're not ready. It's, that's one of the, when we talked about the R, is he can't really use you if you don't know where you fit in the game. If you don't know the game or where you fit in the game, how can I put you in a position where you're just not ready? You know, a lot of us, we like to, like the guy, I asked this guy last night, he said, guess where this preacher was before they called him to preach? And I said, where was he? He said he was working at Walmart. And I said, well, maybe, you know, he's just in between jobs. I don't know. But he says, well, I guess it was 2 years he was working at Walmart. And I'm thinking, that is kind of strange, though. He wasn't at a assembly already, I guess. But, and then they were saying that he left and came here. And then his wife is the bank manager somewhere in this town where they're from. And he told him, he says, call her and tell her, don't quit her job. Because I guess he knows the people at Crosspoint. And if he preaches sermons like that, they'll probably run him out on the rail. So now you've got this, his wife gives up this great job to follow this guy who's not prepared. And when he gets booted out, what after that? I'm just saying, I don't know if that'll happen or not. So, but anyway, Corinthians 15, that has nothing to do with it. It's just preparation, I guess. Verse 41, he said, talk about the glory. You know, those there are different glories. And he says 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. And he goes on to talk about the stages or the sequence that the body has to go through. Now, this foundation here is laid. We just talked about it. He says, it is sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. That's, you got the two, you got suffering and glory right there. He says, it is sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. And there is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And he's giving them the contrast. He says, what you have now is not what you will have. The what you're carrying around now is not that that you will carry around then.
Praise the Lord.
Right. Hallelujah. And he's saying, this is how this one is going down. Corruption, dishonor, weakness, a natural body. This is the natural course of things for this body. He says, but the new body, he says, the resurrection body is incorruptible. It's raised in glory, raised in power, and it's the raised spiritual body. So back to the when he talked about the first fruit, same thing. He says, you sow it, you expect what?
Fruit.
You expect fruit. You expect the you if you bury it, you expect the crop to be raised, don't you? And he says, and that's true. He says, we'll all be sown, and you can expect what? To be raised. But it's what you sow is not the same thing that's raised. And he talks about the different, you know, different seeds, different fruit. He says, plant different flowers, they have different what? Glories. It's all different. Now, we know, you say, each one of us, we're like seeds that'll be sown. And, you know, what determines the growth of a plant is for, yeah. Some other things, yeah, right. Some things have to happen, you know. Some watering and planting or care. Mm-hmm. In our case, it just so happens that the thing that we are bordered with is hard time. It's suffering. So, and, but, he says that that's part of the process. And you can't get away from that process.
And the first part is the suffering part.
And the first, and you know what? I think he says in Romans, he says that you're like that. He says, and that's the same way that he subjected you to the suffering, not just physical, but he also subjected you with hope. That you have something to look forward to. The resurrection. You know what? It's all right. It won't always be this way. I saw a guy at Home Depot the other day, and he had like a hunchback like that. And he was walking down like that. And I was like, so how's that guy doing any kind of work? You know, because he just stuck right there. It's like, wow, it must be really hard for him to work like that. And but I thought, you know what? What happened? I said, what happened to that guy? We're all headed somewhere. We going down one of these streets. One of these streets we go. Cancer Street. Stroke Street. Heart Attack Street. We're going down one of these streets, and it's not going to be your plan. That's not... If somebody said, you go out on this street, you're going to have cancer. And you say, okay, I'm okay with that. No, we like to live a long life, wouldn't we? But it's sown in... Matter if we go into a funeral, the lady, she called her daughter. She says, honey, she said, I think you better come on home. Now she said, Mama real sick this time. She said, okay. She said, well, can I finish my work week out? She said, no, you better come on now. She gets up there. They go to the doctor. And they says, well, she's not eating. She can't hold anything down. They said, well, we did all the tests. She says, from what we have here, you got 2 months to live. So she said, wow. They go home. They kind of get some business together. And she says, well, she says, I'm going to go home and come back. You know, 2 months. 3 days later, she died. She sold that body. Sown in corruption. That wasn't her plan. Verse 45, he says, and so it is written, the first man was made a living soul. The first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And we'll pick up the same place where we should have picked up today. We'll pick it up next week.
Sorry, I sidetracked you.
No, that's good.